current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome into Signs of the Times. It's our weekly look at Bible prophecy in the world's news. Today is October 23rd, 2020. I'm your host, Greg Hilt, along with Pastor Mark Kirk, our senior pastor here at Calvary Knoxville. If you're not listening with us live on Friday and you're listening via Apple Podcast or Google Podcast, iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher, thanks for subscribing to our podcast and taking the time to listen with us. Pastor Mark, good afternoon.
Great to be here, man.
Yes, it is good to be here. Good to be seen.
Always, 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 always.
Always, always, always.
Yep.
Everything about our show can be found at thesigns.org. Subscribing to these podcasts, listening to the shows, reading the articles. Most of the articles that we discuss, sometimes we'll bring up articles that are just in articles, so to speak, that did not make our stack in time, that we will talk about, but we will always reference on how you can get to those things. And as always, you can send Pastor Mark a prophecy question, and all the ways to do that is at our website at thesigns.org. All right, our first article for the day, Pastor Mark, is related to the church, and it's a big one. And this is from apnews.com, but it's all over the news media. If anyone's talking about Pope Francis, because he becomes the first pope ever to endorse same-sex civil unions.
Sorry, pushed the wrong button.
That's okay.
Probably just cleared my throat for everybody out there. I apologize.
I'm not too sure if you did, but I was busy doing my job and talking.
So. Okay. But yeah, no, it is an amazing article and really a sad article. And I want to approach this with they use the term kid gloves, but I really don't. And when I say kid gloves, here's my heart. I want all of those who are listening that come from a Catholic background to know we love you. And we desire the best for you in Christ. We want you to know a personal relationship. I know many of you have a personal relationship with Christ, and we want to promote that. But when it comes to issues where the leader of a movement is so blatantly anti-scriptural, I think we have an obligation. You know, I think about the days of Martin Luther, and of course, this probably wouldn't be a very popular subject maybe in a lot of Catholic circles, but he basically made a stand for the Word of God against the Catholic Church in his day. And caused a big kerfuffle, if you will. I think we're at kerfuffle time. And it's more important that somebody doesn't like me or gets upset with what I'm saying than you not know the truth. But when you hear an article like this, this is not just something that is a false prophet being revealed, but it's really blasphemy. And the danger of something like this, Greg, is that it can condemn men's souls. Let me read some of this to you again. Again, not to just personally attack, but listen what it says. Pope Francis became the first pontiff to endorse same-sex civil unions in comments for a documentary that premiered Wednesday, sparking cheers from gay Catholics and demands for clarification from conservatives, given the Vatican's official teaching on the issue. And I quote, homosexual people have the right to be in a family. They are children of God. Now, I'm going to stop here for a moment. Let me just say, obviously, God loves everyone. God loves the homosexual community and those involved in that. But the Bible clearly says it's sin against God. We can't pretend that it's okay and that somehow if we just imagine that it's okay, they're going to go to heaven. Here's where my heart is. Twofold. To reveal the false teaching, sadly, of a false prophet that's now leading the Catholic Church. This Pope has revealed himself very clearly as a false prophet and a false teacher because he's going directly against the Word of God. But it's more than that. This is why I feel it's important to say these things. And even in the sense of maybe if some of you are listening and you come from a Catholic background, maybe being a little bit upset with me. But I want you to listen first before you make your judgment. This is a matter of souls. We're talking eternity here. And if I love you, I'm going to tell you the truth. If somebody says to you that you can live in a same-sex lifestyle and go to heaven, or that it's okay with God, you've got to take out large portions of the Bible. And I'm not just talking the Old Testament. I'm talking 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that says if you're involved in that behavior, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to read some more of the article, but I had to stop here, so I remember this. He says, they are children of God. Greg, no one is a child of God until you're born again in Jesus Christ. Here's the basic question before I get to that, and I'll let you answer it. If you don't give your life to God, I don't care what background, what denomination, either you're an unbeliever, whatever you are, if you don't give your life to Jesus Christ and become spiritually born a second time, are you a child of God?
No, you're a creation of God, but you're not a child of God.
Exactly. The Bible very clearly says that people on the earth are not children of God just because they're here and they're people. And that's a common false teaching. People say, well, we're all children of God. No, we're not. The Bible very clearly says you are not a child of God until you confess your sin, repent of your sin, and receive Christ. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 says this. Well, I'm going from memory, but basically it says, let me just read it. It'd be better than go from memory. I'm going to read this to you because this is huge, and I think this settles the issue right here. In John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, it says this. Let me just start back in 10 because it's kind of a run and go it gets here. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, that is Jesus, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him, that is the Jews and mankind as a whole rejected him. But, here's the key now, as many as received him, here's a private club. It's the club of those who have received him. Nobody else can make this claim. Nobody else belongs in this club. Now, everyone's welcome. He will take any membership. There's no rejection from anyone that asks forgiveness and comes to him. But you've got to be in this spiritual atmosphere, this spiritual group. As many as received him, that is, confessed him as Lord, to them, notice, and them only. He doesn't say to everyone. To them, he gave the right to become children of God. Here's the bottom line. The Bible says we don't even have the right to be a child of God until we confess our sin and receive Jesus and become born again. So the statement he makes here is it's deceptive in this way. Yes, we love everyone. Yes, the homosexual has a right to be in a family or should be in a family. They have, I guess none of us really have rights. You know, we're all just made by God, and we don't only have our rights. He grants us grace and all that. But the argument he's making is that, look, they should be loved like everyone else. Of course they should be loved. The murderer should be loved and shown grace if he repents. No matter what sin you do, you should be loved and hopefully have a family, and the family of the body of Christ. But that does not make you a child of God because you're in a family. It does not make you a child of God because you're loved. The only person who's a child of God is the one that is born again. So the false statement here that they're children of God, it paints a picture that, well, yeah, it makes everybody think, yeah, they are. They're all children of God, so therefore we shouldn't be this way. And it causes us to sin and accept something that God doesn't accept. Look, I've had family members that were involved in this sin. Do I love them? Yes. Are they welcome at our family gatherings, Christmas and Thanksgiving and whatever else? Yes. Do I say that their sin is okay because they're loved and brought into the family? No. It's not okay. But I am a friend to them and love them that they might be saved. The Bible says Jesus was a friend of sinners, but he made sinners repent, or he warned them they would be left out of the kingdom of God. So my point, I'm going to get back to the article, but I'm so passionate about this, Greg, because this is not just the revealing of a false prophet, which we've already known, but this is a step farther. It's one thing to do wrong teaching. It's another thing to condemn souls worldwide with your false teaching. And because he is over the largest movement in the world, he is going to be held more accountable for making people think, you know what, I can live this way and God's going to accept me. No, God loves you, but he will not accept your sin, and he will not let you in the kingdom of God if you don't repent and turn to him. The Bible's very clear. A man is not to be with a man. A woman is not to be with a woman. The world may accept it, and that's fine while you're here. But when you stand before God on Judgment Day, he will say, depart from me. I never knew you, and you will not be allowed in the kingdom of God. Now, that's love. That's true love. Someone that'll tell you the truth and give you hope. if you're out there right now and you're involved in homosexuality or lesbianism or all these different gender things, first of all, you need to know this. God loves you. Jesus died for you on a cross. He wants you in heaven. We want you to be a part of our family. You are loved and you're welcome. But if you don't confess that it's sin and repent, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And for me to say less would make me a false prophet. And when I stand before God, I'm not going to give account to giving you false words out there to give you false hope. And I fear for the Pope because he has some serious consequences when he stands before God if he doesn't retract this and repent. He goes on and says, you can't kick someone out of the family nor make their lifestyle miserable for this. Of course not. You love your kids. You don't make their life miserable. That's not the issue. The issue is sin. He said, what we have is a civil union law, and that way they're legally covered. However, conservative Bishop Thomas Tobin of Providence, Rhode Island, called for clarification. And I quote, the Pope's statement clearly contradicts what has been a longstanding teaching of the church about same-sex unions, he said in a statement. The church cannot support the acceptance of objectively, immoral relationships. Good for this bishop. Now, again, for those of you that are listening that might come from the Catholic background, here's a bishop that's speaking the truth. He is on target. He's saying we cannot accept this. Catholic teaching holds that gays must be treated with dignity and respect, and they should be, I'll add, but that homosexual acts, that is the sin, are, and I quote, intrinsically disordered. Intrinsically disordered and just clearly sin, the Bible says. A 2003 document from the Vatican's Doctrine Office stated the church's respect for gays, and I quote, cannot lead to any way of approval of homosexual behavior or the legal recognition of homosexual unions. Doing so, the Vatican reasoned, would not only condone deviant behavior, but create an equivalence to marriage, which the church holds is as indissoluble union between a man and a woman. Why does the church hold that? Because that's what the Bible teaches. So again, why so much passion? You are loved. We want everyone in heaven. I don't care what sin we've all done and been involved in. Many of us are guilty of many sins right now. And many that came from a homosexual lifestyle or same-sex relationship, whatever, will be in the kingdom of God because they've come to Christ. But if you don't turn your life over to Jesus and ask forgiveness, you can't enter the kingdom of God. And this right here is a worldwide condemning statement that could leave people who are confused and looking to their spiritual leadership could lead them, Greg, the opposite direction of heaven and to be eternally separated from God. It has to be called out. And yes, we use, as we say, kid gloves. Maybe I hadn't used such kid gloves in this because of passion. But the bottom line is, and I'll just make this statement. I won't go back and keep rehashing it unless the articles come up. He has revealed himself to everyone to be a false teacher and a false prophet. You need to run from this particular pope and go with those that you know are teaching the truth and the word of God.
Well, I don't think that he's a false prophet, Pastor Mark. I think he is the false prophet,
false prophet from Revelation.
Yes, for anyone that's ever listened to Rush Limbaugh, his sidekick, I guess his name's Snurdly or something.
Yes,
he was always known as the official Obama criticizer. I think because he was black or is black or whatever. Well, I'm going to be the official Catholic criticizer.
All right.
Because I was raised in the Catholic Church, took catechism in the Catholic
Church. That's
right.
Church, that's right.
Went to all boys Catholic high school.
Oh my goodness.
So I understand Catholicism. And here's what's interesting. Pope Benedict was the first pope ever in the history of popedom.
Yes.
You know, of the establishment of the papacy.
Right.
Okay. To have resigned the papacy.
Yeah. Okay? That was
pretty amazing. Every pope died in office. It was expected them to die in office.
Right.
That was a life term that they served as the pope.
Right.
And then he died and then they picked a successor. This is the first one that resigned because he said, The Spirit told him to step down. Well, it wasn't the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I don't believe.
Yeah.
And ever since then, since Francis has taken the papacy, everything that's come out of his mouth has contradicted the word of God.
It really has. He revealed himself from the very beginning.
The problem, and I would at least give Pope Francis credit if he somehow quoted Scripture in any of his edicts that he's come down with and said that this is wrong or this is right. And I think, and sometimes he has, but I think he's taken text out of context and he's twisted the scriptures, especially when it comes to the poor and the rich and things like that.
Yeah.
Totally ignoring the words of who are supposed to be his Lord and Savior when he says, you will have the poor with you always, but for me, you will not.
Yeah.
Right before he went to the cross.
Yeah.
So there's no quoting of the Bible. There's only talking about church teachings. Who cares what the church says? It's what God's word says.
Yeah.
And if a church is not quoting what God's word is saying, you're in the wrong church.
Yeah, and if he's not the actual one, which, Greg, you may be right. If he's not, it'll be one just like him that's coming up after him. And remember, the scripture says, remember, there's going to be the Antichrist. There'll be the whole picture of the unholy Trinity.
Right.
There'll be Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And it says in Revelation, the false prophet will look like a lamb. He'll have horns like a lamb, but speak like a dragon. And that is exactly, he's in the garb of religiosity,
yes,
looking holy to the world, but when he is speaking from the devil's mouth.
Now, we know the Bible tells us that as Christians, we won't know who the Antichrist is. He won't
right.
be revealed. The son of perdition will not be revealed until the great falling away takes place,
right.
meaning it's been completed. The great falling away has been completed.
Yeah.
Whatever that finish line is,
yeah.
only God knows what that is. We don't. We're clearly in the race for that. I don't know that we've hit the finish line yet. But the Bible says nothing whether we'll know or not know who the false prophet is.
Right.
And everything that he's doing, and everything that he's doing is basically bringing the world together.
Yeah.
He's now touched a complete a people group of homosexuals and lesbians,
same-sex
relationships,
yeah.
and reached out and made them feel included,
right?
Unscripturally,
yeah.
You know, to the extent of salvation in eternity goes,
yeah. Absolutely.
You know, everything what you're talking about, love and loving on these people, absolutely. And you made a great point about Jesus. You know, every time that Jesus confronted a sinner, you know, he didn't run from them. He approached them. As a matter of fact, that's one of the Pharisees' biggest complaints about Jesus, is that he was dining with sinners.
That's right.
How dare he do that?
A friend of sinners, it says. Yeah.
But how else was Jesus going to share the truth if he didn't spend the time with them? He never once condoned somebody's sin.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, he did it. The ones he was harsh with were the religious leaders, like your main leaders.
Right. That's,
but everybody else, Greg, he was gentle with, but he confronted their sin. I think
yes.
of the rich young ruler. He said,
yes.
you know, you've got to repent or you can't be a part of this. And the rich young ruler went
yes.
away sad. The woman at the well.
Yes.
He was very sweet to her, very kind to her. He said, but if you don't repent,
right.
he said, you're not
yeah.
going to be saved. You better
yeah.
come to the true Messiah. The Lord would say to those today involved in any sin, including same sex and other sins, you are greatly loved, but unless
yeah.
you repent, there's no place in the kingdom of God. It's
so
just what the word says.
So let's look at what Francis has done. When he first started off in his papacy, you know, he is trying to unite religions. He's been working very hard to unite Islam and Catholicism.
Yeah.
To become as one,
right.
to become as brethren.
Right.
He has worked very hard to speak against borders. Whether it's physical borders or borders of your mind
right.
in terms of acceptance of people from other countries, nationalities. And there's a part of that that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. But what he's gaining, what he's trying to do is destroy nationalism.
Yeah.
He's trying to create globalism
yeah.
in his rhetoric
yeah.
and what he's saying.
Yeah. Not just him. He's majorly supporting it, but not just him.
Yeah.
You have the whole liberal movement doing the same thing.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's one and the same.
That's right.
So he's attacking the rich. And saying, you know, the poor and the stranger, you know, is your responsibility. Okay, yeah. But when you take a look, you can look at certain things myopically, and you can maybe extract some good out of what he's saying.
Yeah.
But the larger picture of what he's doing is truly doing what the false prophet is going to do scripturally, and that is get the whole world's attention.
Yeah.
So he can point to the Antichrist
right.
as the world leader. And
yeah.
he's building that consensus
yeah.
with every speech he makes and every subject that he attacks.
Yeah, and again, with that whole position of being in the Pope's position, we definitely believe in Revelation, it's going to be a Pope that's going to be this false prophet, whichever Pope it is, because that is, there's only one worldwide representation of what you call a worldwide Christian movement like that. So it's going to be a pope.
Well, I was going to say Catholicism is the only religion, and I'm not even going to. I see what you're saying. But Catholicism as a religion in and of itself, as compared to Protestantism,
right,
and Islam and Buddhism and any other religion you can think of, does not have a consensus noted worldwide leader.
Yeah.
In their religion, yeah, other than Catholicism,
yeah,
and that's the Pope.
Yeah, that's why I believe that's who it is. And of
it
course,
all fits.
And Revelation says, remember, the Antichrist will embrace him at first.
At first,
it's
yes,
a woman rise the beast. The woman represents, I believe, that Catholic Church, that overall world,
yes,
worldwide religious leader, and is riding the beast, the Antichrist. That is, it's almost as if we're in team, and I'm even propping you up. I'm like,
yeah,
you know, you're whatever. And he's going to turn, and it says, devour her. He'll devour her with fire. He's going to turn on the Catholic Church and all others that hold up Christianity at that midpoint, as he declares he's God.
So that's interesting. So do you think then prophetically, during that first 3.5 year period, yeah, of his reign as the world leader,
mm-hmm,
that that there will be that embracing of the false prophet and that one world religion,
oh,
but
yeah,
then replace the Pope and say, no, you look to me as the leader.
Oh,
yes,
yeah, he'll allow the, that's the whole point. The first 3.5 years, he'll allow the Pope to make that, or whoever this person is, I believe it clearly appears to be the Pope in Scripture, allow them to make these statements or whatever, but then there's going to be the declaration that he is God. And so, yeah, I mean, it's really, like I said, this is one of those things you have to bring up and you have to say, because it's too important and souls are too important. And so, you know, we had to deal with it.
Well, you know, and I also think, too, there's just so much appeal to the flesh. I know in my years in the Catholic Church, you know, drinking was always a big issue.
Right.
And the ability to continue to basically, you know, pay for your sin indulgences.
Right.
And I mean, that's what Mardi Gras,
right,
represents, right?
Right?
I mean, Mardi Gras is all about get as much sin in as you can,
yeah,
before Lent comes.
Yeah.
And you repent. I mean, the whole thing,
yeah,
is just...
Well, it's works-based.
It's,
and if
it's works-based,
you can pay it off. That's the thing, but you can't. It's got to be done in the heart and in the spirit.
Absolutely. So, enough said on this.
Yes.
Okay, so let's move on to Israel.
Yeah. Well, I had.
Oh, did you?
Well, I did.
Pastor, but
No. I want to talk about just a friendly, as we finish this, a friendly warning to Christians not to lump themselves in the wrong group. Remember, I don't know if you remember. I want to mention something of that, but I mean, you start your music.
Oh.
We can go and do this first article if you want. We only got like 8 minutes, 7 minutes.
How much time do you need?
Well, let me do real quick on this, and maybe we'll get to that, and we'll have to do the music again. But listen, here's my heart as a pastor. I want to give one quick warning to believers out there. Again, one of the things I've always tried to do, and I have done throughout the ministry, is not to get political, and that's not my heart in any of this as we come toward the voting season. But I'm looking at it from a different angle now as a pastor, because now we've crossed over into an era where the parties are so divided. And one particular, the whole liberal movement has gone so far away from God's word that I feel there needs to be a loving, friendly warning for when we stand before God. You're going to be giving account of who you lump yourself in with. Be careful that you don't lump yourself in with a movement that, as a movement, says we don't want God to be a part of it. Official platform. As a movement says, we not only want to kill babies in the womb, but we're going to expand that and move it to taxpayers doing it. And a movement that says, just what we talked about with the Pope, it's okay for men to be with men, women to be with women, or whatever. I don't have to get into details. It doesn't take a genius to figure out, but that is the official platform of one of the parties running. So my point is this. Make sure that the Bible says if you lump yourself in with a group that has a certain belief system, you're accountable to God for being connected to that group. So this is not about politics. This is about one day you're going to stand before Jesus Christ, and he's going to say, who did you stand with? And who did you stand against? Now, some of you might be saying, yeah, but the other side just as bad. The guy leading the other side, he's mean and says hard things and he's not a Christian. Or what? Look, that's not the point.
Jesus is not on the ticket.
Yes. The point is, whether it's politics or anything else, if you're involved in a club somewhere, if you're involved in a group somewhere, and they put themselves and they put a platform, here's what we believe. We stand for these things, okay? And if somebody does that and it's a part of your normal political party, if these are things that are anti-God and you join with that group and add your voice with that group, we might say put your vote with that group, you're going to be accountable to God. God, when you stand before the Lord, he's going to say, why did you stand with a group that was killing babies and putting more money into it, making it permanent, and then taking taxpayer money to kill even more babies? Why did you do that when I said, thou shalt not murder? So, okay, then why did you link yourself with this group that where I said it's an abomination for a man to be with a man, a woman to be with a woman? Why did you link yourself with that group and cast your vote in with them? Okay, here's a group that said on their platforms at their conventions openly, we don't want God. You can't bring God in. That's against me. Why did you do that? Here's what I'm saying. Christian, listen to me. Why are you standing where you're standing? Why are you voting how you're voting? It's not about a godly candidate. It's not about some candidate that's standing up for Jesus Christ. That's just not, that's rarely, if ever, going to happen. It's what are the things on the ballot that stand with the Bible the most, and what are the things that stand against the Bible and against God? And whatever you link yourself in with, you're going to be accountable to God to do that. I will say this. You may not like the current president and some of his positions and where he stands and all that, but he's against killing babies. He's against making what the Bible says is sin normal in America. And he's brought God, whether he knows God or not, it doesn't appear to me he does. But whether he knows God or not, he's brought God into the platform. So which group, when you stand on Judgment Day, which group would you want to be standing before God and saying, here's the group I stood with? I, as a pastor, make an appeal to you to strongly consider it, regardless of your social or political background and leanings.
The parable of the 10 talents comes to mind, Pastor Mark, and I don't know if this is the right use of text and context here, but Jesus said, or in the parable, the master had said that the one servant that had the one talent and he buried it,
yeah,
was wicked.
Yeah.
Okay. Basically, he did nothing with it.
Yeah.
So in that context, if for you living in the United States of America as a Christian, if you've been given your right to vote,
right,
can I look at that as a talent? In the Christian that sits there and goes, well, you know, I don't like Biden because of this, and I don't like Trump because of that, and they're looking for Jesus on the ballot, and Jesus isn't there, and so because they don't meet, no candidate is going to meet the biblical standard that we would want to see in our leader, that's only going to be Jesus, okay?
I think that's a good analogy.
So what do you say to the Christian that basically buries their vote?
Here's the bottom line.
They don't carry it to the polling place.
And then what they do with it, yes, here's the bottom line. God has given each of us a measure of influence in our society around us. All those small it may be, some larger for some smaller for others, your vote is a measure of influence given to you by God as a right from heaven, and you're going to be held accountable for it. You're going to be held accountable if you don't use that influence. Why didn't you use it? I gave you an ability to fight against evil or to send things in the right direction, and you're going to be held accountable if you use it in a wrong way. And you're also going to be held, that's a great point, Greg, I believe, accountable if you don't use what God gave you, if you just hide and say, well, I'm not going to vote for either because I can't stand with either. Listen, if both of them were promoting evil and abominations, I would join with you and say, guess what, Christians? We've now been pushed out of the voting block. We can't vote anymore. But we're not there yet. One side has done that. One side has purposely gone against God in radical ways. Another side is not really for God, but not against God. And you need to use the influence God has given you to stand for the best you can for God's word and for righteousness. And yes, you will be held accountable for what you do or don't do. Again, it came out today. It's estimated that 40 million Christians will not vote this year. Christian, hear me.
Amazing.
The Christian church could dominate America. The Christian church could take it exactly where we wanted it to go if God's people would simply use the influence he has given each person for righteousness. We would run the country, not the devil. And that's a challenge to the believers out there today.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Mark. Well, guess what? We get to play the Israel music in our next half hour.
Sorry.
You're fine. No, you want to know what? The Lord's timing for
yes,
all things.
Yes.
But we're going to get into some good articles from Israel and other articles of interest as Signs of the Times continues right here on WIAM. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
WIAM-LP.
101.1 FM, Knoxville.
It's Crazy Money Day. Hey, I'm Chuck Bentley with My Money Life from Crown. In April of 2019, a shooting at a California synagogue killed a woman and injured three others, including Rabbi Yisrael Goldstein. He gained notoriety by speaking often and asking for love, forgiveness, and tolerance. He met Vice President Pence at the Poway Synagogue and was invited to a National Day of Prayer event with President Trump. In July, he pleaded guilty to charges of defrauding the government and wire fraud. They cover years 2010 to 2018, but authorities say he was engaged in fraud as far back as the 80s. His schemes were complex, involving taxes, government programs, real estate, public and private grant programs. It's shocking. A statement released by the synagogue reads, "This is a very painful time for our congregation. Following the attack on our synagogue last year, when we were frozen with shock and fear, Rabbi Yisrael Goldstein brought us together and inspired our community. That was the rabbi we knew. That was the Rabbi Goldstein the world came to know. Yet, we've since learned that the rabbi violated the law. He contradicted what our synagogue stands for and transgressed the very moral and ethical rules of the Torah that he taught. Here's the lesson. Guard your heart. The love of money is a snare. It's a root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pang. And if you're struggling with credit card debt, I recommend Christian credit counselors. They can create a debt management plan just for you. For more information, call the Crown Helpline, 800-722-1976, or visit online at crown.org. That's crown.org.
A Moment of Grace with Ed Taylor.
You know, God did not give you the job that you have right now to make you a complainer. That's not why he gave it to you. He didn't say, I want to see what kind of complainer so-and-so is, so I'm going to give him this job. Now, the job has revealed what kind of complainer you are, but that wasn't God's heart. He didn't allow you this place of employment to bum you out, to discourage you, to destroy you. He has put you in the place that you are for a very specific purpose.
For more biblical encouragement to help you grow deeper in your love relationship with Jesus, visit edtaylor.org. Again, that's edtaylor.org. A Moment of Grace with Ed Taylor is a presentation of Calvary Aurora.
Signs of the Times now continues. Here again is your host.
Welcome back, everyone, to the second half of Signs of the Times. It's our weekly look at Bible prophecy in the world's news. Today is Friday, October 23rd, 2020. I'm your host, Greg Hill, Pastor Mark Kirk on the other side of the glass. And it's time to get into other articles of interest. And we get to hear our Israel music again. This first article, Pastor Mark, is just, all of this is amazing, but yet we always have to keep, this article is a great example of why we always have to keep prophecy in mind.
Yes.
Because we can get excited about things and not realize that some things might look good on the surface, but they're just temporary because prophetically, things are going to change.
Yes.
The first article here is from timesofisrael.com. Title of the article, dated October 18th, is Sudanese Group Backing Normalization with Israel Holds Its First Conference.
Yeah, this is huge, Greg. This is huge. And really, you know, again, a new thing came in just today. This article's not about it. It was only about an hour and a half ago now. 2 hours ago it happened. But it's about Sudan, so this works perfect. We have an article for it kind of built in.
Perfect.
But let's read some of this. I'll tell you the new thing. With pressure reportedly mounting in Khartoum to normalize with Israel or remain under sanctions. Now note that. Or remain under sanctions. Conference may indicate a government step to ready public for this move. The first conference of the Popular Initiative for Normalization with Israel was held today in Khartoum. in another sign that the Sudanese transitional government may be considering advancing ties with Israel. The U.S. has reported pressuring Sudan to normalize with Israel in exchange for the removing Khartoum from the State Department's list of state sponsors of terrorism. Okay, so right now they're a state sponsor of terrorism. That's how we see them. Sudan's presence on the list subjects it to crippling economic sanctions and limits the impoverished country's access to international credit. Now, let me tell you what's going on. I'll tell you what just happened today. Here's the bottom line. Because they are a state-sponsored terror group, then America has sanctions against them, which hurts them and all their economy and all the stuff they can trade in and sell and do. At the same time, they can't get international credit. You can't borrow things. I mean, it really cripples your economy in a huge way, especially when you have somebody as big as the United States of America that has the economy based around it saying, we're not going to work with you. So that's huge for them. But note this. I've noticed this, Greg. President Trump is using money and economy to pull these people in. In almost every one of these situations where these guys have linked up with Israel, the ones that are adding to this, the Abraham deal, the Abraham covenant, and doing this stuff with the Middle East deal with Israel, it's promising them financial gain. Remember when he dealt with Kim Jong-un? He said, this place could be a resort place.
Yeah.
You could have, like, just blow it out.
Tourism.
Money, yeah. money. Now, he knows that everybody moves by money. So he's using that very wisely in many ways. Again, it may be fleshly. Won't get into all that. As we said, he's not exactly the most spiritual man. But the point is, he knows how the world operates. So what he's done is, he's gone to these places and offered them normalization, whether it be weapons, whether it be economy, whether it be, anything. And they're saying yes. Well, now he goes to Sudan and says, you know what? All right, here's the deal. If you guys will, we'll drop the sanctions. We'll let your economy start booming, and we'll make you billions and billions. Who knows what he told me? Put a beautiful, golf course there or whatever. You know how the president is.
I want you to get an invitation down.
I need to. But he's a tough one for me anyway.
I know.
But either way, we'll do this. We'll take you out from under sanctions, which means you can now thrive. You can now start seeing your economy explode, but there's two things you have to do, and this is interesting. He said, you have to, first of all, stop your terrorism the best you can, and you have to pay back reparations to all the Americans that you hurt by terrorist attacks. Well, get this, because the money's so big, because the pressure on Khartoum, they agreed to it today. A phone call today, about 2 hours ago, in
this
the Oval Office. This just in. Sudan has agreed to do this. So Sudan has now officially joined the Israel peace deal with the other Arab nations. They are going to, now their economy will be opened up to everybody else's. They're going to pay back Americans that they hurt in terrorism. And they're looking at it from a financial standpoint and the doors it opens for them. Now, first of all, yes, maybe a wise political move by the president. Yes, he appealed to the flesh by going through the money. You can talk about all the reasons and the way it happened all you want. But here's something we have to remember as signs of the times. Listeners, there are five major countries that are leading. There's more than five involved in this attack against Israel. I think that's pretty clear from the passage. But five major nations leading the attack against Israel. One of the five is Sudan. Now, I find that very intriguing because here now, Sudan's saying, oh, yes, we want to be your friend. We want free trade, do whatever. But when they get the opportunity, they're going to be attacking. And it might even be, I don't know if they know, if they're willingly planning on positioning themselves to be trusted, put that in quotes, and then hit, it's the one you trust that can do the most damage because they get the closest to you. They can put the knife right in your heart. So whether or not they know they're doing this or whether or not the enemy is setting this up to get ready, I don't know. And it's interesting because the Bible says when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction. Now, it's always been a question, what particular event is that verse talking about? Is that verse talking about...
What verse is that, Pastor Mark?
I'd have to look it up, but I can't in a second. It's popped in my brain, but I don't have the address yet. I'll get you in just a minute.
Here's
the bottom line. Most people that I've always heard, they think it really deals with the midway point of the Great Tribulation. That is, everybody thinks there's peace and safety, the world is... And then sudden destruction comes because God starts his work.
Now,
It might be.
Yeah.
But it could also mean peace and safety in the Middle East and around the world. And when everybody's going, look at these deals we've made, look at the Abrahamic covenant, look at all these things that have happened, and suddenly, sudden destruction. Israel gets attacked by Sudan, Turkey, Russia, and Iran, and Libya, and boom, there they are.
Well,
so who knows?
Well, that would make sense that verse would be prophetic for the Jew.
Yes.
Because at that time, things are going to be the best, I think, they've probably been at least in our era,
right?
Because of the peace deal that the Jews are going to be living under in Israel.
Right.
And then sudden, and literally sudden destruction.
Yeah.
Because as soon as he stands up and makes that announcement, he's already got the marching orders for the destruction planned and in place. And it's just a matter of saying, ready, set, go. And it's gone. And then the time of Jacob's trouble is the worst time of persecution that the Jews will ever experience on this earth.
In world history. Yeah, and that is 1 Thessalonians 5:3.
There you go.
There you go. So there's your address. So very interesting.
There's your address. I like that.
Keep your eye on that because, again, when you see something like this, oh, well, Sudan's having peace with Israel. They're going to be a friend now. Not. This is a trick. Sudan is going, they hate Israel. They are going
to. This is just for the money.
This is for the money and for the PR. But when the moment opens up, again, it's that old snake thing. You find the snake that's injured, you bring it in, you take it, nurse it back to health, and when it gets strong enough, it bites you because it's a snake. That's what it does.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they're going to do.
Well, speaking of peace deals and things of that nature, our next article comes from jpost.com, dated October 20th. The United Arab Emirates submit official request to open an embassy in Tel Aviv.
Here we go, yes.
Now, not Jerusalem, mind you.
Right, but still Tel Aviv, in Israel.
But that's, still in Israel, it's huge.
I would think for these Arab states to go to Jerusalem could be really,
That would be death for them, I think.
Who knows? But the bottom line is, like, the fact that they're going to Israel, and also Sudan, these others, they may, Greg, eventually end up doing this.
Who knows?
What it says. The Emirati foreign minister said he appreciated Israel's efforts to support cooperation and had every faith in support for the diplomatic mission. The United Arab Emirates officially requested to open an embassy in Tel Aviv during its first ever government delegation visit to Israel on Tuesday. Members of the delegation gave Foreign Minister Gabi Ashkenazi, I just like saying his name,
Ashkenazi,
a letter from his UAE counterpart Abdullah bin Zayed. It's pretty fun to say his name too. The Emirati foreign minister, we're having fun with names today. The Emirati foreign minister said that he appreciates the efforts that you're making to promote cooperation between our countries. And I have full faith in your unreserved support for opening diplomatic missions in Tel Aviv and Abu Dhabi. It's another fun name. This is a fun article.
If we could be the prophecy version of Sesame Street.
There it is.
Our word for the day.
Yes. Today is prophetic nation.
Yes.
Abu Dhabi. One. Let's count the nations that want to attack Israel. One, two, three. All right. Anyway, earlier, the U.S., Israel, and United Arab Emirates announced the establishment of a joint regional development fund based in Jerusalem, the Abraham Fund. Notice this. Now, what is this all based on, Greg? Here we go again. UAE, it's based on economics. It's based on money. If you remember, the Antichrist is going to make a one-world economy, and everybody's going to seem to be thriving. Look at this focus on economy. They literally have what's called, I didn't know this, I read this article. The Abraham Accord also has now the Abraham Fund. It's derived from the Abraham Accords. As a peace between Israel and UAE and Bahrain is known, it'll be launched with an office in Jerusalem and a $3 billion starting trilateral investment. How'd you like to have that to start your piggy bank and your allowance?
Mm-hmm.
To promote economic cooperation, notice economic, and prosperity in the Middle East and North Africa. Again, huge push of the Antichrist, bringing the world together economically. And I quote, "We're making history in a way that will stand for generations," Netanyahu said. "This meeting shows the region and the entire world the benefit of having friendly, peaceful, normal relations. Ultimately, it will be so much better working together as friends." Touting the UAE's economic advancement and the importance of the agreements signed with Israel, Al-Tayyir said the Abraham Accords will, and I quote, "achieve prosperity and growth for our economies and our people." President Trump is uniting the nations of the world with Israel around the economy. I do not believe, and I feel confident, if I can say based on the word of God, he's not the Antichrist. The Antichrist will rise up out of Europe, but he is paving the way. The Antichrist is going to use this type of economy approach. He's going to use this type of world unification to bring everybody together. And Greg, we're watching it fall together again, like always, before our eyes.
Yeah.
You may be a businessman or some high D.
All right, our next article, Pastor Mark, is actually a blast from the past, and you're going to explain to our listeners why. We are talking about an article from December 18th, 2019, from the website for MIT News, for Massachusetts Institute of Technology. So if you just Google MIT News, And on their website, you're going to have to dig for it because it's not a new article, but the title of the article is called Storing Medical Information Below the Skin Surface.
Yes, and let's set the setting before I read this.
Okay.
This right here, we're looking at an article that's going to point to the Mark of the Beast technology that's coming. I'm not saying this is the mark, but here comes the technology and the ways it could be implemented. But the date here is huge to me, December 18th, 2019. Does that ring any bells to you guys? Again, that's before the Hades was opened up and all these 2020 hit, and we started having all these horrible things this year. This is when, Greg, this is right in the middle of, and some believe that it was possibly last November, December, when the Wuhan virus out of China was released and really made its full impact. It was already here, some believe, in America by then, but really started showing up by March, February, March, et cetera. So at the time this came out, that virus was coming out as well.
People are referring to anything from last year, tagging it with BC, meaning before COVID.
Yeah, that's pretty funny, and I get that before COVID, but again, remember, as we talk about, you know, we're going to come to a point where we're going to look back at 2020 fondly and go, wow, I wish it was as easy as it was in 2020, because in the last days, it's going to get really, really difficult. But this is why this is so important. This came out right when the virus came out. Now, did mankind coordinate this? It's possible behind the scenes with large governments, or is this a much larger picture, which it no doubt is, Satan himself organizing the timing of all this, because this has to do with a vaccine and vaccines. How timely. For MIT, which, by the way, is one of the world leaders, if you will, in technology, Massachusetts Institute for Technology is what it stands for. Let me read some of this. MIT engineers developed a way to store medical information under the skin. Well, how about that? It says in Revelation 13 that we're all going to take a mark on our hand and our forehead. No, we're not, but the world's going to take a mark. The false prophet will be forced. The Antichrist will force everyone to take a mark on their hand or on their forehead. Here comes the technology. It's been here for a long time in different ways, but now we're talking. This is one way it could be introduced, at least getting ready for the real one. Is this the mark? I don't think so, but listen to the article. It says a way to store medical information under the skin using a quantum dot dye that is delivered along with a vaccine. Interesting. Hey, everybody needs a vaccine. Let's put that quantum dot in there. And at the same time, listen what this quantum... I'm not saying that the coronavirus vaccine is going to have a quantum dot. I'm not saying that. I don't know that. And my guess is it wouldn't right now. That'd be too obvious. But I wouldn't be surprised in the next year or two that you wouldn't see quantum dots being put into vaccines for this reason. Notice what happens. Again, this is the leading up, I believe, to the marking of the world by the Antichrist, to be done by a microneedle patch. The dye, which is invisible to the naked eye, can be read later using a specially adapted, ready for this, smartphone. What they're doing is they're putting smartphone technology so you can scan people to know whether, look, if the airlines say you can't get on this flight unless you've had your corona shot, or you can't do this until you've done that, and let's say they start putting the dot in virus shots or whatever to help us for anything that comes down the road. Again, I'm not saying coronavirus will have that, so don't misunderstand me. But whenever they decide to do this and pull the trigger, if the airlines say you can't fly without that, then all you have to do is you get this injected under your skin, and then they scan you by a phone when you come in or some other scanning device, and now you're good to go. But if you don't, you can't get in. The article says every year a lack of vaccination leads to about 1.5 million preventable deaths. Here's the good side of it now. They're trying to get you all, you know, buttered up here. Primarily in developing nations. And this is true. I know that vaccines are good to keep disease down in general. One factor that makes vaccine campaigns in those nations more difficult is that there's a little infrastructure for storing medical records, so there's often no easy way to determine who needs a particular vaccine. Now, we've talked in the past, Greg, about how convenient it would be to have a mark, some type of traceable mark to something that would store history and whatever in your body, because let's say you're unconscious somewhere. They can scan your hand and know how to treat you, what you're allergic to, what you're not. You've always got your medical records with you. You've always got your bank account with you. You've got everything with you. It's ingenious. We just know that it's going to be used for evil. MIT researchers have now developed a novel way to record a patient's vaccination history. storing the data in a pattern of dye, again, invisible to the naked eye, delivered under the skin in areas where the paper vaccination, paper vaccination cards are often lost or do not exist at all. An electronic database is unheard of. This technology could enable the rapid and anonymous detection of patient vaccination history to ensure that every child is vaccinated, said Kevin McHugh, a former MIT postdoc, who is now an assistant professor of bioengineering at Rice University. The researchers show that their new dye, which consists of nanocrystals called quantum dots, can remain for at least 5 years under the skin. It will be permanent. It'll last more than 5 years eventually. But where it emits, note this, here's what happens. It emits near-infrared light that can be detected by a specifically equipped smartphone. Now, who funded this? The Gates Foundation and the Koch Institute from a grant. Here's the bottom line. Bill Gates, again, has his hands in all this stuff. He's been working with vaccines forever. And Bill Gates right now wants to be involved in marking. He wants everyone to have a digital mark. He's already said that, so that people around the world can be traced. He hasn't come to America and said, we want Americans yet, as far as I know. Maybe he has, but he's pushing it real big around the world because he probably knows how Americans would resist that. But the bottom line is, guys, here comes the technology. We've had it. Now we have it in a way that it can be under your skin, something you won't see. Again, the Antichrist will have everybody take a mark on their hand or their forehead. It is ingenious if you don't know what the Bible says. Because, again, every bit of information you need, how many times you run out the door, especially as I get older, how many times do I run out the door and have to run back in to get what I forgot? Guess what? That's over. You run out the door, you've got everything you need on your hand or your forehead. How many times have you been somewhere and wondered, man, I better put my hand in my wallet. You know, I'm in some place where a bunch of shady looking people are and some people are bumping into me and I know this area of pickpockets. Gone. You won't need a wallet. All your credit cards, all your money, all your bank account information, everything is in your hand or on your forehead. When the Antichrist introduces this across the board, it'll just immediately drop the crime rate worldwide, which will make him seem like a huge hero. It'll make life much easier around the world because everything is going to be just with you all the time. It solves problems like unconsciousness in emergency situations. It keeps up with things you can't keep up with. I mean, it's very, very ingenious, except it's very insidious, and the enemy's going to use it to mark and follow and control every person on the planet when he implements his final plan, and if you don't follow it, you're in big trouble. So keep your eye on this. Amazing stuff. Let me make one statement again, Greg, before we move on. I want to reiterate, because people misunderstand me sometimes. I am not saying the coronavirus shot is going to have a quantum dot. Matter of fact, my guess would be it will not initially, because I believe it would raise too many eyebrows and be too alarming for them to do it day one. We'll find out. They may be that bold, but keep your eye on it and let's watch.
All right, our growing anti-Semitism story this week comes from Israel365news.com, where we see the European Union has given millions to violent enemies of Israel in 2019. What do you think about that?
Well, shouldn't be a surprise.
No.
I just have a short little paragraph from read on it, because remember, the EU, they're going to be, again, this is where the Antichrist is going to rise up out of, the revived Roman Empire, and they're going to be against Israel again at some point very boldly. A new 30-page report released by the NGO Monitor indicates that in 2019, the European Union authorized more than 40 grants, totaling as much as 33 million euros, about $39 million, to NGOs in the Palestinian Authority and Israel that have terror-linked beneficiaries, glorifying terror, promoting anti-Semitism, or are involved with politicized projects against the Jewish state. So just all-around Jewish hatred, and so, you know, very, very, again, gleeful to do it, I'm sure, but horrible. The findings of the study were released this week at a press conference on Zoom. So I think that's just to keep everybody updated that hatred toward Israel is still advancing forward as we said it would, and it's again advancing in the European Union, which is going to be the headquarters one day soon.
All right, some pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption. A couple of things that articles that most people probably are not aware of. And the first one comes from NBCNews.com. Colorado's largest ever fire brings new round of evacuations.
Greg, I can probably link two together again if you want time-wise.
Well,
cause even the,
and the second article is from WashingtonPost.com about the Iowa derecho.
Yes.
Back in August was the most costly U.S. thunderstorm disaster ever.
Yes. Now, why did I leave these in here? There have always been fires and thunderstorms. I want to point two things out in these headlines, and then
yes,
we can
sir.
Move on to some other articles. But notice the key headline, the key point here, Colorado's largest ever. Okay, largest ever. And then the other article, Iowa derecho in August, which is a huge storm, most costly. Why do I point this out? Remember, the Bible says not only will things get crazy among mankind in the last days as we see the day of the Lord approaching, he said that the earth's environment will get more turbulent because the earth is groaning for the return of the Lord. So my point is this, you signs of the times listeners, be watching for more storms and more groaning because we're getting closer to the return of the Lord. So I use this as an evidence to show you this is not mankind. It's not environmental stuff. It's not global warming. This is the earth groaning for the return of the Lord, and you're going to see more costly and larger storms as we get closer to the end.
Mm. All right, Pastor Mark, our last article of the day is a good news article. For those of you that follow the NFL, then you're aware of the recent season-ending injury that Dak Prescott from the Dallas Cowboys underwent when his basically his ankle broke and kind of came out of his flesh there. It was quite gruesome indeed.
Yeah.
But ChristianHeadlines.com is reporting that Cowboys Dak Prescott is saying after that season-ending injury that he's thankful that Jesus is his Savior.
I love it. I love his boldness. Dallas quarterback Dak Prescott
that's it.
Says he's excited about God's plan for his life following the ankle injury that ended his season barely 1 month into the NFL schedule. Prescott, a two-time Pro Bowl selection and the league's 2016 Offensive Rookie of the Year, suffered a fracture to his right ankle on October 11th that required surgery. He was a fourth-round selection out of Mississippi State. A smiling and upbeat Prescott recorded an Instagram video on October 15th, updating fans on his health, saying he's excited for God's purpose and God's plan. And I quote, "I know it's bigger than anything I can see or could have imagined, but I'm trusting him," Prescott said. "My faith is doubled down more than ever." Wow, don't you love his heart? "I'm thankful that he's my Savior and guides me in life, so I know through him, all of this will be possible, and all this will be a great comeback and a great story." Prescott recorded the video while he was on his way to a medical checkup post-surgery. He said he's doing well and in great spirits. And I quote again, "I'm ready to get this journey of the comeback started." And he said, "God bless you all." That is a good news story. You know what? It's one thing for these guys to know the Lord. It's another thing to be bold enough to come out and say it. God bless you, Dak Prescott. We need to be praying for our brother Dak and that God would heal him quickly and that God would use him most of all as a witness for Christ. And it's exciting to see people stepping forward. God, we need bold people more than ever, Greg, in the days in which we live.
Well, you know, and as we go out, Pastor Mark, why don't you talk about how tragedies can be used to glorify God if we're looking for God in the midst of those tragedies.
Well, you know, it's funny you said that because he was injured on October 11th. October 11th is the day my life changed in Christ. I wrecked my car due to being a drunk and not knowing Christ and totaled my car in a church parking lot. And God started on October 11th to change my life, to turn me around, to send me to Christ, and now using me as a pastor some almost 30 years later. And so that's a special day for me that Dak got hurt on. It's a memorable day. It's burned in my memory, and I'll never forget it. But I'll tell you what, God used that horrible moment in the flesh or the world to lead me to the most wonderful eternal destination. And although Dak already knew the Lord, God used that very same day, no association thought of there, that's not my point, but God used a day in his life as a professional football player where God again did something in him that he's going to now use for his glory. He's going to restore him. He's going to use him. It's interesting, Greg, when the shepherds would want to make the sheep even closer to the shepherd, they would break their leg and they would carry that sheep on their shoulders. And they said by the time they were done, that sheep would stay so close to them, they never strayed from the flock. I'm not suggesting Dak did. He seems to be a godly man walking with God and always has been. But this break might be an opportunity for his shepherd to pick him up and carry him closer than ever and hand feed him, hand give him water, and see Dak not only serving Jesus Christ, but serving him greater and stronger than he ever has and using it all for his glory. So believers, when bad things happen in your life, know that God's going to use it for his glory and for your betterment. And if you don't know the Lord and you're in a horrible time right now, listening to this account, God may be using this very tragedy you're going through to say, "Hey, I love you. Turn to me. If you confess your sin, if you believe that I died on the cross and my blood was spilled for you, you will be forgiven. You'll be born again. And I don't care what sins you're involved in the past. You now have your seat in heaven and your mind for eternity. And we invite any of you out there who don't know the Lord to make that decision today.
Amen. Pastor Mark, thank you so much, folks. Thanks for taking the time and listening to us. If you want to listen to previous episodes of our program, especially if you're a new listener, we invite you to go over to our website at thesigns.org, where you can do that right from our website. Or if you're a big podcast enthusiast, we've got several ways for you to get involved through Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Stitcher. All the links to subscribe to those podcasts are on our website, as well as many other things that you can check out while you're there. Thanks for taking the time with us, and we invite you to join us again next Friday at 1:30.